Honey Boo Boo!
What?
What are you gonna tell them judges if they ask you about your heart?
I'm gonna tell them my heart is sweeter than bacon, child.
Tech Today.
Here we go. With an all-time
it's
low.
It's going to be a dandy.
Opening up a Wednesday morning with a little South Park look back at the Honey Boo Boo episode where she got a pig heart, and there's a reason for it, I promise you. Not necessarily a good one, but a reason. Yeah. Nonetheless, as Bob Carmody joins me in the studio.
Oh, you got to love South Park.
It is some of the best writing, whether you agree with the language that is used or the themes that
How
are used. I certainly understand
are.
That. I wouldn't let the little kids watch it, but it is fantastic writing nonetheless.
And what an opening to our first article from Medicine and Health Surgery. Pig hearts may save lives, researchers say. And this is dated yesterday. It talks about how one day cardiac patients may enjoy really a new lease on life because they're going to receive pig hearts that'll be beating in their chest. And there was a major advance announced on Tuesday in what's called cross-species origin transplantation. So what they did is they took these genetically modified pig hearts and implanted them in baboons. And the baboons have lived like 2.5 years. And I don't know.
Did the baboon have a health ailment? That
probably not.
Not, I would
okay.
guess.
But, I mean, when you think about the shortage of donor organs that we have today, if we could come up with some type of constant, steady, high-quality supply of animal hearts or lungs or even livers, for that matter, it could save thousands of human lives. And there's been a lot of research done on this. We've talked a lot about this over the years. But the problem that has always been in the way is organ rejection. And so people who do receive transplant organs have had a real struggle with the drugs they have to take to suppress the organ rejection. So anything that can be done to take the donor organ and match it more to that person's DNA is theoretically is advantageous because it lowers the risk of organ rejection. And so here we have these scientists from the United States and Germany that have succeeded in keeping these transplanted pig hearts alive in these baboons for, like I said, 2.5 years. And the method that they use is a combination of gene modification and targeted immune-suppressing drugs. And combined, those two are starting to get this figured out and having a pretty successful technology developed.
Is the goal to have these become the long-term replacements, or is this a matter of let's get the pig heart in because it's readily available, but if a better one comes along, well, we can bring you back in and do it again?
That's a good question. I certainly am not a medical person, don't know how to answer that definitively, but I think what it represents certainly is it's another step in the transition to wherever it is we're going, okay? And I think the pathway that these people are going down is to try and take swine, pigs, hogs, okay, because in terms of size and structure and all, their hearts and lungs are very similar to ours. And so they're a good match from that point of view. And so if we can figure out and learn how to take the human DNA elements that we need and implant those into those swine embryo to raise those animals with hearts and lungs, livers, et cetera, that would not be rejected by us, I think is for these people the ultimate goal. Now, I think that at the same time, you have other researchers working on the technology of creating human hearts. In other words, they would take a person's own DNA and create a new heart from their DNA, and they might do that through 3D printing or grow it in a dish or something. I mean, that would be a different kind of technology, but nevertheless, these this science of xenotransplants, transplanting from one species to another, is certainly advancing, and I think we'll probably see some real progress here next, well, certainly the next 10 years. 5 years ago, if you think about it, 5 years ago, you had a situation where if you needed major cardiovascular surgery, okay, like bypass or whatever, okay, heart valve replacement is more what I'm thinking about. I mean, they had to literally open your chest and replace your heart valve like the aortic valve. And now they're doing that through the arteries. And that's just in the last, really less than 5 years. I mean, that's a huge, huge advancement, I think. Have you read about that? Or
no.
I know several people. I have a very close relative of mine who just had that just a few months ago and is doing remarkably well. This information is that's coming out now. It's just groundbreaking. It's called a transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR. Is that TAVR? And it's enabling minimally invasive repair of damaged aortic valves, and it uses computed tomography or a CT scan along with real-time X-ray imaging or fluoroscopy, and that gives physicians a map on what's going on during the procedure so they know exactly where they are. They can see through these imaging technologies. They can see exactly what's going on during the procedure so they know how to, if you will, navigate through the cardiovascular system and implant these new valves, and are having some great success with that. And so anytime you open up somebody's chest cavity, you have a risk of infection and a lot of other complications. And so if you can remove all of that risk or greatly reduce it by this new minimally invasive technology, that's a big, big advancement. And this has only come to the forefront here in the last few years. And I think it's a good example of how we see technology becoming more and more a part of our lives, and it's so gradual, we don't really know about it. But we don't realize it when it's happening so much. But when we look back in our lives, like I'm fond of saying, when I think back to my childhood, most elderly people who were 75 or older were either crippled or blind. Not all of them, but I think most of them, because they didn't have cataract surgeries, they didn't get knee and hip replacements, and didn't have all of the other medical technology benefits that we have today. So big change.
Living longer, living better. Sometimes we talk about one or the other, but maybe we don't talk about both all the time at the same time. You mentioned TAVR, or however maybe it's pronounced, the acronym. Did you know what TASER stands for?
No.
You know the TASER stun gun?
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah. TASER sounds like a word, didn't necessarily have to be an acronym. Matter of fact, I think it's written capital TASER.
So all caps.
Could have been named after somebody. I didn't know that on this date in history, John Higson Jack Cover Jr. was born. He's the American inventor and aerospace engineer who invented the TASER stun gun weapon. Inspiration after reading of a man who was briefly immobilized when he landed on an electric fence. So that's where he gets the idea. But he was a science fiction reader, and he loved Tom Swift. Thomas A. Swift and His Electric Rifle is a book that he read.
Uh-huh.
There's TASER. Thomas A. Swift and His Electric Rifle. TASER, named after a book that John Cover liked.
When he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Says a lot about the power of imagination, doesn't it?
Wonder if Tom Swift ever used a TASER or something of that nature. He had an underwater lab and a submarine of sorts and a cyclotron plane, so he probably had a TASER.
In Star Trek, they had phasers.
Mm-hmm.
set your phasers on what were the settings, stun or kill?
I'd have always gone with the second one. I ain't stunning nobody. Shoot first, ask questions later, baby.
Well, kind of along that line, Tesla announced the new Model 3 last week. Did you see it? Did you read all
heard
about that?
Plenty about that, yeah.
The new Model 3 sedan is expected to be shipped. You can get yours at the end of next year. So
place your orders now.
Place your orders now. And did you hear what the pre-orders were? They had, now my information is dated April the 1st, okay? So they had received 115,000 pre-orders, and each one required a $1,000 deposit. So there were 115,000 people who were willing to plop down a grand to get this new car. It's $35,000 base price, but they say after you put on the average package of options, and that average option mix takes it up to about $42,000.
I just want an AM radio, baby. I don't need no stereo options. I want a Tesla with an AM radio.
I'm sure you can find one. Yeah. Have it installed. That's just an extra option. But interesting time. I mean, I think if you look at what Tesla's doing, they're now, you know, it seems like every model gets lower in price. They're going for bigger market all the time. And the electric car field is getting more and more crowded. So this may be the make or break vehicle for Tesla. Boy, it's a good looking car. And goes 215 miles on a single charge. And that probably, for most of us, would last 4 or 5 days anyway.
I've always wondered, and we've talked about this, I don't know if we've ever seen a definitive story, is that 215 miles like in a straight run? If you use it over 4 days,
stop
do,
and
you,
go.
Do you lose more, like you lose gasoline, yeah. Air conditioning?
AM radio.
Yeah, do you lose mileage, like you lose gas mileage with those things? I figure you probably do.
I figure you do, yeah.
If you're in a straight run across a couple states, you probably do better and go longer.
So a 10% loss would be 21 miles, mm-hmm. if you figure it in those increments. So even if it were 180 miles of normal town driving on a single charge, that would last me all week. And you just charge it overnight. So I think it's kind of like saying a car like that would work for most of us for most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you needed to take a long trip, like you go on vacation or something, you're going to drive to wherever, okay, Branson, Missouri, then you take your old car, your gas car. But again, it's kind of like that heart story. It's a transition. And it looks like we're beginning to transition to more and more electric cars. I mean, you see them up in Indianapolis. You've got those cars you can rent. And then we're transitioning to more sustainable energy resources, getting away from coal, moving more and more toward electric and natural gas and wind power and solar and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot going on that it's kind of fun to try and stay current with all these events.
But what's that electric car do to the grid? You know, a lot of the time we hear that
makes you burn more coal.
Yeah. State government will reduce our taxes in some way. So what do we end up with? Talking about LOITs and local option income taxes. So you save some money here, you end up spending the same amount or similar here. There's a balance that we just can't escape.
I mean, don't you think that's just a transfer?
You still have to create power.
Sure.
Somehow. Yeah. With some product.
Well, LOIT, I think, was just I'm very much opposed to LOIT taxes because they're income taxes, and I think taxing income is just pretty stupid.
Well, I didn't even mean to put the pressure on that, though. I'm just saying
I
when
did,
one thing goes away,
I can't resist.
You usually got to replace it someplace else.
Yeah, sure you do.
And so you lose gasoline, but you got to plug in your car and your electric bill goes up.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not as much. Hopefully not as much.
Well, and the talk on that, as I understand it, is that you plug in your car at night when the rates are lower, okay? But I never saw on my utility bill, and maybe I need to look more closely, but I never saw that there were different rates based on my usage day versus night. It looks to me like so many kilowatt hours blank.
Yeah.
There's your price. Okay. So I'm not sure how true that argument is for at least the average citizen. Now, maybe that's more true on a commercial account, but nevertheless, I think you're right. You know, the sum of the parts is not going to be greater than the whole. And you're replacing one thing for another. Now, there's certainly room to talk about efficiency and which technology is the most efficient. Okay, so solar versus coal versus wind power, et cetera. And you talk about all that and cost per kilowatt hour and have that discussion. But it certainly would beg the argument of, is it cleaner? Okay. Is there a net increase in cleanliness or benefit to the atmosphere? All right. So are you better off to have all these cars burning gas, or are you better off to burn more coal to produce the electricity to power those cars? I don't know. That'd be an interesting thing to know. But as you get more and more alternative energy sources like wind and solar, then that energy source becomes, I think, more attractive as long as it's economical. And I think they are becoming more efficient. So without getting into all the details of that, which I'm certainly not qualified to do, I think it is correct to realize that there is a transition going on here, and we're going to live it. I mean, we're going to live through this, and this is one of the experiences of our lives that we're going to deal with. But above all that, it's a good looking car, and it'll go 0 to 60 in less than 6 seconds. Well, it's not too bad.
That's important going around the public square.
It is, yeah. 215 miles on a single charge. They also announced when they debuted this car, they also announced that they're going to add a whole bunch of charging stations. They're gonna go from 3,600 in America to 7,200, so they're going to double. Now, where those go, I don't know, but big announcement from Tesla, so we'll see.